Turn it up, Harry. Turn it up, Harry. Turn it up. One more time.
Won't be afraid. Won't catch me running. Never catch me running, baby.
Never catch you sweating either.
You take my hand. You show me how
great introduction.
Man, what a way to start a show. Good morning. Today is Wednesday, and this is the Urban Talk Radio 103.5 FM WNHHLP, where you will hear conversation, information, education, inspiration, motivation from the American urban perspective. I am your host, Kingsley Osei. And joining us today in our home studio is our special guest, Omar Wilson, the legendary Omar Wilson. Today on Urban Talk Radio, you can join the conversation on Facebook at Bowminds and Twitter at Bowminds. You can also stream this show on your smartphone or computer by logging on to newhavenindependent.org. We are also streaming on all platforms and also on my Facebook page, Kingsley Osei. And before we go any further, I would like to wish my wife a happy birthday coming up on March 22nd, and March 22nd is also our anniversary. I took the easy way out. I'm aging in reverse, but you know, I want to make sure I don't forget our anniversary, so I married her on her birthday.
Right.
You know, call it cheating, but I call it being smart about it, you know. So want to wish my wife a happy birthday and also happy anniversary. Love you, baby. Love you to death. Now, getting that out of the way, I will do the reintroduction again. In the studio, we have Omar Wilson, a.k.a. the Black Sinatra, CT R&B living legend from Norwalk, Connecticut, the home of my brother, the legendary DJ Billy Bush. Big shout out to Rain. You know, I just mentioned a couple of cats that, you know, during our days at WXCI 91.7 West Coast Radio, you know, these were family. Three times Apollo winner, who has opened up for artists such as Boyz II Men, the Neville Brothers, Chaka Khan. His music speaks to his own personal experience growing up in an urban environment, bridging the gap between hip hop and soul. He has also performed at the Essence Festival and nominated for the 50th NAACP Image Award for Outstanding New Artist. Man, he went against Ella May, one of my favorite. When I, you know, want to get in that zone and have a nice cigar and some bourbon, I get him my LMA.
Wow.
And yeah, you went against LMA, man. That was, I know.
Yeah, LMA tour, Tory Lanez. He was in
Tory Lanez, but I'm not going to put Tory Lanez in your lane because Tory Lanez is, you know, we were, just before we came on the air, we were talking about yesterday's R&B versus today's R&B, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big shout out to Tory Lanez, but we're not going to talk about auto-tune R&B artists right now.
That's right.
You know,
right.
I mentioned Ella May because, yes, you know, I want to talk about real voices.
That's right. I appreciate that.
Omar, what's good, my brother?
Man, you just made it great. I love the way you started the conversation, Flav. And salute to you, man. Happy anniversary, you know. Happy birthday to your better half,
man. Thank you, man. This is natural, man. We've been doing this, you know.
Well, how you been?
Life is good. And good, and I'm blessed, and you know, and a family man. I can't ask for nothing more than that.
That's right. Family is everything, man. Honored to be on your station. I appreciate the love and support, man. Thank you, man.
It came a full circle. I ran into you at Billy Bush birthday party in Bridgeport. You was on your way out, and I had to pull you in real quick to let you know that you know, I've been watching you. I've been observing, and you need to come on the radio and get your flowers, because not everybody know your story. You know, People see the flashing lights, but they didn't see the dark lights.
Man, it was a lot, man. Like I said, still to the second, it's still a roller coaster. You know, like I said, people might see the accolades and me doing what I'm doing, but they have no idea the turmoil and the perseverance and the ups and downs, left and right, backstab, front stab, you name it, man. I am enduring it still to this moment. It is insane, but those are the reaches of an astronaut. Those are the reaches of an Olympian, a nuclear physicist, those that want to do something that other people deem impossible. So, you know what I mean? What they say, my plate's full, but my plan was to eat. That's what Benny the Butcher said that. Plate's full, but the plan was to eat. So,
there you know, you go. Let me find this for the record. Who was the first radio station to play Omar Wilson on his come up?
Many. I mean, being that you asking, I'm about to say you because I don't really know.
That you can recall. You know, if you're going to say me, then I would say that would be WXCI.
Yeah.
Let me big out to my brother, Billy Bush, as well. It could be me. It could be Billy Bush. I will not go. I don't compete with my brother, Billy Bush. I'll always big him up. When I used to run through the industry and they would ask me who was the DJ that was ripping the clubs, I would say, you know, I'll put Billy Bush before me. Who was the DJ that was ripping the mixtapes? I would say that was me, hands down. There was nobody coming close. And I wouldn't say there was nobody coming close, but it was me all day.
It was you all day.
When Billy Bush released the tape, I couldn't wait to purchase one. And who were the ones that was ripping the radio? Both of us was really competitively breaking records at XCI. Big shout out to my man, Ron Ice, who was the one that put us on.
Ron Ice, that's fam. Okay. Damn.
I'm trying to take you down to the memory lane. That's what this is.
That's what this is all about. It's because you are such a historian and you have decades in this game. You probably know some things about my story that I don't even know because at time in the beginning, I was just running and gunning
just running reckless.
And doing everything I can to map the place anywhere it was. Like when you saw Omar Wilson, the energy was that of a rap artist because I was that prior to singing. You know what I mean? So it was all about doing everything I can to show why I deserve to be here. You know what I mean? So competition was not even an inclination. It was only succeeding and exceeding expectation, man. So,
and coming out of Norwalk, you and Rain was and Dolo was our peoples out of Norwalk. You guys always had a spot in our playlist, and you know our doors was always open to you. And it's funny because Principal Thompson, Vernon Thompson, you know, he
oh, always, Vern. Salute.
Yeah, Vern, Big Vern. He always say that, you know, I was a mentor to them, you know, coming up. And it's like, I didn't even know, you know, I was a mentor to anybody. I just felt like, you know, my doors at a record store or, you know, radio station or wherever was open to really give my knowledge of any local artist on the come up to, you know, to get it right. And be successful. We were all starving to get a Connecticut artist on, you know.
Come on, man. Like when you call, we talk about Dolo, you know, Dolo John Reagan, man. Shout out Sono Entertainment, you know, Sweet, Sweet Melody. Dolo, that's like first of all, God rest, you know what I mean? God rest my brother.
All right, never, Dolo.
Untimely, you know what I mean? Death, but he was one of the three first people to ever fully believe in me and to even say, like, yo, oh, you got this voice. Because at that time, I was rapping. You know what I mean? And I was singing the hooks to the rap songs, but it was mostly about the rap thing. Mm-hmm. And he was the one that just not only pushed me, but he could have been his own thing because Dolo was a star before I was. You know what I mean? I watched him come up. So that was my first feeling of someone that has the same polarity or more than you showing me respect and love. You know what I mean? And to this day, I represent for Dolo and everything that I do, man, everything that he was about, because he was always about unity, making sure Norwalk shine, making sure all Norwalk artists shine.
Yes.
And the same thing Sweets is doing right now, man. So, Dolo, I love you. Rain Raphael, you already know. She's one of of the most.
She was so advanced. She was so ahead of time.
Just the innovation, the way she moved like a star, like you're supposed to. Like people even now with me, I get certain individuals saying like, yo man, Omar Wilson, he thinks he's full of himself or he's arrogant or he's conceited. No, you have no idea the journey that it took to have the respect for myself that I have. and only people like you and Arayne Raphael that have put in decades into this can say it is not arrogance and self-centeredness. It is confidence, perseverance, and the fact that I built a mountain. I've built a mansion out of nothing. And only people like yourself understand that. Other people that are still striving to achieve your greatness or find their individuality might take it as, you know, we're trying
until people have a good one-on-one conversation with you, they wouldn't understand how really you are such a good listener and how humble, you know, you are. You could be cocky by confidence. It's okay. You know, you're very confident person, very respectable, but, you know, you are also not the average R&B type singer. You know, there's a streets to you. So like you said, sometimes you're trying to figure out yourself. You know what I'm saying? Right. You're trying to make sure that you are balanced. And
balanced.
You know,
right.
As people think it's supposed to be really that easy, nobody can really determine who you really are or who you should be or whatever. You try to figure that out and come up with that and give to the world who you really are. So yeah, big shout out to, you know, all the Norwalk cats, you know, Rain, Dolo, RIP, shouts, you know, Connecticut Cartel, Gold Bucks, Dell over there, you know, everybody that came up around that time, very competitive times in the 90s and early 2000s, man.
It was.
And you survived that era. So, you know, my big up to you. Now and before I get off on that, you know, you need to make sure that you fix that EPK, the electronic press kit, because, you know, these times are very necessary in your EPK, because, you know, you're not always going to get, now I would say you're not always going to get a chance, but until people hear you out in interviews like this, they don't know what your journey is. You know what I'm saying? You know, that kid is in your website, and for somebody to go to your website and read what's really up there to see who Omar really is, they shouldn't just see the bright light. You respect your grind, how far you really came from. A quick paragraph summary of, you know, shouting out the first radio station that actually played your music is very important. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It shows your grind. You know, I've had some executives out here, and I've been reaching out to them, you know, to kind of take a time out and come on the radio and, you know, just talk to our people. And we've been reminiscing on all of us coming up in the 90s and the grind of what it was to break a record from a flyer to what it is to just sit behind your computer and hit an enter,
man,
and reach a million people. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, man.
Somebody's success cannot be compared to yours coming up.
Man, back in the era where you had the staple gun hitting all the poles with the flyer. Come on, son. Stop playing. The double-sided flyers, you know what I mean? They had the UV on them. So when the water hit them, they don't melt into nothing. They have no idea about that guerrilla marketing.
Hey.
Hand-to-hand combat. I remember people being like, yo, man, every pole I see, Norwalk, Stanford, Bridgeport, there's a flyer with Omar Wilson on it. Yeah. Because I had a team of gorillas that was ready to do whatever it takes to put my name out there.
Gorillas,
so right. That's word. Click a button. You know what I mean?
Gorilla is the word. Gorilla marketing. You know, gorilla is the word. And then you have to, this is what I used to tell my street team. The objective is to try to push these poster boards all the way up to the point that it can't easily come down. Now, the other side of it is when you pull that poster board all the way up, and the cop ran up on you and tell you to take it down, you know you can't take that thing down. You're going to get it. So,
hey, yo, we used to take that thick, white, almost masking tape, and I'd just go around it till it was almost laminated to the pole. Yo, rain, you can shoot at the joint. It ain't coming off, son.
That P22 stapler and that JT21 yeah. staple guns.
With the silver staple gun.
Man, those things, it should be in every hip hop museum. There should be a JT21 staple gun, the T50, and a P22 should be in every hip hop museum. And like I said, when you push that thing all the way up there, the electric pole or whatever, you got to make sure that you do not get caught, because you had a way out when a cop pull up on you and you're like, I'll take it down. But when you get it all the way up, it is not coming down.
It's not coming down.
Not coming down. You're going to jail. Shout out to my street team. They were the best that ever did it. They never got caught. Cause they were very well trained to know how to spot the police and just know how to get their job done, man. Guerrilla marketing best. All right, those were the days. Now, Omar, you just came off from singing the national anthem February 14th at Denver Nuggets versus Miami Heat. How was that experience? Yeah. Were you nervous when you were announced?
Hey, first of all, I think that was the biggest crowd that I've performed for. It was 19,000, you know what I mean, in attendance. Plus, right. it was televised on TNT and all types of other new sports channels. It was game of the week. It was a lot of components to that night that did make it one of the most intense moments in my career. You know what I mean? Plus, it's NBA. The stadium was packed with all millionaires because they was giving one of their people a ring. Like, it was the first time Denver had played Miami since Denver won the championship. So there were so many proponents to it. So yes, I mean, there has to be a level of nervousness to achieve that level of greatness. You know, two, I knew the whole world was watching. And just like there is a lot of individuals like yourself that have love, respect for Omar Wilson and want to see me reach the highest heights, there's also people that would love to see me fall flat on my face. So, okay. You know what I mean? It's that happy medium. And my job is to make those proud that dared to believe in me. So it was an honor. I want to thank the Denver Nuggets. I want to thank the Miami Heat, the Ball Arena, and all the people that were involved in allowing me that opportunity and opportunities that's going to come from now. It was an amazing night. I got a lot of branding opportunities happening from that.
Nice.
I will be doing a national anthem in different spots. Nice. Like, it just opened up a lot more doors and just spread the awareness more on the things that I already have going on. So, yes, it was, I think, one of the crowning achievements of Omar Wilson's journey thus far.
So yesterday's price is definitely not today's price after
that. Oh, yeah, not. Yeah, it's about to be tomorrow's price. By the end of this interview, it's going to be tomorrow's price. So all the execs, all the business owners, people that want to get some bread, I'm telling you now, brand, clothing lines, big or small, you heard it here right now. The price is going up after this interview. Call Kingsley. If you can't get in contact with me, call my big homie Lou. Let's get some money, man. Omar Wilson, the stock's going up. It's never coming down.
You wasn't in the gym when we were shooting.
Nah, man. It wasn't in there. Was nowhere. They wasn't even getting water at the fountain. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, I stated earlier that your music speaks to your own personal experience growing up 30 minutes from New York City. Can you elaborate on that journey?
Man, well, I mean, that journey for me was, I knew that, you know, at that time, Connecticut, there was a lot of competition was high, but opportunities and connections were far and far between. So I went to New York early to not only cut my teeth, one, but two, if you want to know if you have something special, go hit them streets in New York. And in our era, and somebody really needs to do this, I'm just going to put it out there, somebody needs to do a documentary on the showcase scene in New York City from the 2000s to 2010. Because so many artists, from Nicki Minaj, M5 Lounge. Like, I remember she said that in one of her rhymes. I remember being in the showcase with her at that spot when she didn't even have the name yet. So Chrisette Michelle, I came up with. Like, there's so many artists that transitioned into superstardom from the showcase market, from what Maria Davis did, from what Nightingales, Nell, Soul Cafe, You know what I mean? There were so many spots back then to help an artist cultivate their talent. Especially for singers, you know, the rap thing was always there. But for singers, that was where I learned I had something special. I mean, I always believed in myself, but there ain't nothing like performing in Brooklyn, Queens, Harlem, and the Bronx, and you on that stage, and somebody sitting in the front looking at you like you crazy, and you giving your heart out, and they ain't even moving, like no emotion. So that's how I cut my teeth. There wasn't no internet, no TikTok. It was real live people and their energy, and you knowing that. Even by me saying, yo, I'm Omar Wilson from Connecticut. I'm in Brooklyn. That alone could cause a ruckus. So now you already done said you from where I'm not. You better be good, son.
Hey, so how you
think, it was a whole different era of cultivating talent.
How you think I felt in the 90s when I would go to music conventions, no matter what state it was in? You know, it used to be me and Billy Bush a lot of times. You know, Billy don't really talk. So I'm the one with that.
He just cut.
He don't talk.
He cut you up.
I'm the one aggressively in artist's face trying to get drops. And when I'm getting my drop, that's when Billy's able to get a drop right along with me. My friend, you know, I always say this with pride. I'm one of the only people with Biggie drop.
Wow.
I got it in 1994, Jack the Rapper in Orlando. Right when he got off that stage, I was like, you, a star is born.
I got that
drop right when he got off that stage, and the drop didn't come out correctly. And then I called him again in the hallway, smoking with King Just, and I was like, "Yo, the drop that you gave me didn't come correct." He was like, "You hear him say, yo, you on record? The shit is working. Yo, this Notorious B.I.G. banging." And then boom, I caught that drop on the video camera.
Ooh.
Right there. It ain't too many people can tell you they got Biggie drops, cause you know. So you're talking about, you know, being out of state, talking about you from Connecticut, and that was me. Like, I'll take that ass whooping by myself, cause a lot of times it was only a couple of us. Shout out to Wan Koon. Wan Koon was with us in Orlando. Ooh. Jack Rapper, me, Wan Koon, Billy Bush, you know, and my man Buddha from and my man Jazzy from Canada, from Toronto. You know, shout out to these cats, man.
I remember that, like the beginning. That's why, you know what I mean? Like, we are literally historians for the music scene from our state. I'm not saying there was no scene before us, but mm-hmm. we definitely set the precedent and let people believe that it is obtainable to go from small Connecticut, small Norwalk. I'm from Norwalk, you know, shout out to Bruce.
Come from the golden era. Spell it out. No disrespect to the ones before us, but we come from the golden era.
Period. You could deny it, you could say whatever, but at the end of the day, people were inspired by Kingsley. People were inspired by Billy Bush. People were inspired by Omar Wilson being the groundbreaking individuals, the first people to plant their flag on another planet, basically, and mm-hmm. say that, yo, it can happen. It can. You can accomplish whatever goal you want. You just got to be fearful and have enough love in yourself to go ahead and get it.
Well, man, shout out to my man. Shout out to my man Gabby, G-Star Entertainment. We did the interview last week. I've been getting a lot of good feedback on that interview. People told me that, you know, the interview was very genuine. We didn't really even get into a lot of substance because it was just so personal. And people wondering how we're getting these executives coming on this joint, because, you know, they all tell you the same thing. It's relationship that we established. These were promoters who were just in the game as college radio, in charge of college radio and marketing and whatnot. And we at XCI, including my time at WVOF in Fairfield University Radio, we were breaking these people's records, from the artists that didn't really make it big, the artist that was nobody that became an A-list. These is people that we looked out for, that looked out back for us, making sure that we had our vinyls, and I came in a full circle. Now they're big time executives, and I'm, you know, some of them are responding to, you know, the calls and making sure they're coming out here and sharing their story. So that's
once again setting the precedent for our state and allowing people and believing in people before they even have the accolades, man. You know what I mean?
Was deaf, man. This is the Urban Talk Radio 103.5 WNHHLP. I am your host, Kingsley Osei. And if you are just joining us today on Urban Talk Radio, you can join the conversation on Facebook at Bullminds and Twitter at Bullminds. You can also stream this show on your smartphone or computer by logging on to newhavenindependent.org. We are also joined by CTR&B living legend, Omar Wilson, the Black Sinatra. Okay, let me see where we go from here. Before I shift into music, I also want to thank you. During our Connecticut Against Violence assembly tours in the Bridgeport for Black Schools, you came on a couple of days to really tell your story, you know, to the kids, man. How was that experience too?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about the babies for me, man. It's all about inspiring kids that might not have the inspiration, whether they live in a two-parent home or a one-parent home, just showing them how great they are from the beginning and showing them an example that looks like them, that feels like them, that moves like them. So, I mean, at the end of the day, when I first got into music, it wasn't to become a star, you know what I mean? I had my first child when I was 17, turning 18, you know what I mean? So, like, and God gave me this voice, and I wanted to give my child the best financial unfair advantage that I could. Then and now, you know what I mean? And I know with this voice, I would have a chance to accomplish that. So for me, it's always been about inspiration. It's always been about showing those that need love that they have. It's always been about self-love. You got to love yourself first before anybody else can, you know what I mean? So it's an honor and always will be an honor to speak to the babies and let them know how great they are from gate.
And on another note, those are also a piece of those stories that needs to go on your EPK because, you know, people want to know that, you know, people want to know that you are really involved with charity, giving back to your, you know, your community. Community services is very important because you never know there could be a nonprofit organization that wants to sponsor you or wants to, you know, be a part of a music video that you want to shoot. And know that, you know what, you are not just about this life, but you are also about giving back. So
those
things are also necessary to add to your EPK.
Definitely, and that will happen.
Now, let's get into some music content. Before we do that, the Omar Wilson that I know started off his show with Change Is Gonna Come.
Correct.
By Sam Cooke. That's the Omar Wilson that I know because I haven't really seen you perform in a minute, but that's the Omar Wilson that I know.
That's the Omar Wilson I still am, man.
Change Is Gonna Come. Like, I'm like, this dude got the nerves to really sing Change Is Gonna Come and really, like for real, with that raspy voice. Come on, talk to me, bro.
Well, yo, how it happened is I started performing in New York. I would do my little say, you know, it's Omar Wilson, I'm from Connecticut. I started singing. People would turn around. They wouldn't be paying attention. You know, it's the city. You got to do something impactful. Even if they listening to you, they act like they're not listening.
Right. So, they want to play hard.
So I heard the Change Gonna Come joint, and I said, all right, let me just do a little 8-bar acapella before I start my set and see what that does. And I would either do Change Gonna Come or Born by the River, or I would do If I Ever Leave You. That's Donny Hathaway. I Love You More Than You'll Ever Know. So I do a little quick 8 bars and people would be like, yo, what the duck? Same thing you said. Who this dude with the audacity? And then after my little 8 bars, I tell them, drop that. And I would go into my joint. And that's what started gaining my momentum. Because it was like, okay, if you could do that with no music, singing one of the legends of R&B and soul music, I listen to you for a minute. And then it's crazy because as things have transitioned, you know, a long story short, now with this classics album that I have, one of the songs that's on the album is Sam Cooke's Change Gonna Come. And I've learned more about me and my path in music through that song and all of these other phenomenally great, legendary artists that I have been blessed to channel with this new album that I got.
Nice, nice, nice. All right. So with that being said, I'm going to play one of your hit records. It's a Man's World. And then talk about the making of this record.
Yes, sir.
This is a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or girl.
Ooh. All right. I'm not sure if we have permission to play over a minute or not, because we may get shut down.
Okay. A little copyright infringement.
Definitely. Talk to us about this record, man.
First of all, it's James Brown's Man's World. You talk about the godfather of R&B and soul music. You know what I mean? Number one. Two, I did this rendition in Memphis. I did I worked with at Royal Studios with this cat named Boo Mitchell. His father was the cat that produced Al Green. So I had wanted to, in the beginning, do something that was so impactful that it either shot my career forward or it could have destroyed it. And doing any record of an individual of the caliber of James Brown, you already know that that could happen. So went into the studio down in Memphis. That was actually recorded live with a live band. And I actually recorded with the band, like the old school way. And it became one of my signature records. Mm-hmm. And then as things progressed, I said, you know what, let's do an album of legendary singers. You know what I mean? And me and my big homie Lou Humphreys from my label BSC, we started cultivating, putting together a gambit of records that really no one can sing. So it started with James Brown, then it went to Donny Hathaway, Sam Cooke, David Ruffin, Teddy Pendergrass, so on and so forth. The juggernauts, the legends of R&B and soul music, the OJs, you know what I mean? People, voices that were so raspy and booming that there was no other voice, and there still is no other voice out there like mine.
You and Jada need to collaborate on a record, man, with their raspiness.
I would love to work with Jay. That's the big homie. Set it up, son. Make it happen. I still got the record with X that I was still trying to refigure how to put that back out. But it would be an honor to do a record with Jada. And I know he float around through this area, you know what I mean, a lot. Let's make that happen. That
would we'll be call amazing. It the call it the Raspies. The Raspy.
Hey, yo. The Raspy, yo. Yo. Now, sound like a plan to me, like the Gambino, son. You know what I'm saying?
So how are you getting clearances for these records, man? These are heavy records. We're gonna go through a couple of them. How are you getting clearance for these records?
Shout out to my label, BSC Recordings.
Wow.
Shout out to my big homie Lou Humphreys. He is the mastermind behind making sure that every record is not only respected correctly, legally, that we did the renditions according to making sure that the families and the houses of the people that own the rights to these, that is, to the music are not only pleased, but they're comfortable with us doing it. It has been an honor to have the ability to do these records like a Donny Hathaway or a Bobby Womack and get the clearance and then now get the confirmation from all the families that we did the records justice. So yeah, shout out to my label BSC Recordings, my big homie Lou Humphreys. He's the one that is the man behind the madness, making sure that all legalities are correct. So when we present this product to the people, that there was no interruptions.
And that's why walking the fine line and it's very important, man, because regardless of how good you sound, if you know they feel like, you know what, we won't clear this record because of who the person is. They are entitled to it, and they could go that direction to restrict you.
Secret Garden. Look at Secret Garden. Right. Quincy, they didn't have to clear that. Come on, man. You talk about
you never
the
cleared
biggest
that
problem.
record.
I said they didn't have to
Oh,
clear that.
exactly.
Yeah,
They didn't
no,
have
you.
to. Now
Yeah.
we're gonna get into Secret Garden on that segue. Let me see. That is the segue. The remake of Quincy Jones' classic Secret Garden from the album Omar Wilson Sings the Classic, featuring Sisqó, Sean Stockman, and Raheem Devon. It was on Billboard Top 30 Urban Adult Contemporary and Adult R&B for 10 weeks and number
Let's
one
go.
requested song on the radio.
Let's go.
And my question was, which we've already like, how did you guys pull that off and get it cleared? Take us into there was a segue into that. How did you get Secret God? The question was already there. You let it like how? How do you
And it was during the height of the pandemic, man. We didn't record that in the same room. That's why to be honest, it should have won a Grammy, man. But the politics, and it's so much politics, as you know. It's
Alex
so
Trace.
it's that's so that song is so emotionally charged with the people that originally did it, wrote it, made love to it, made kids to it, and then here comes this new dude with a bald head that supposedly no one knows.
No one
And
knows.
at first everybody thought Sean Stockman and Sisqó and
Right.
Raheem did me a favor, like, oh yeah, they threw him a bone, they
Right.
looked out for the new guy. No, that was me. I paid them to get on the record. That's my record, my conception. I thought of the idea. My big homie did the track. Shout out to Jazz Joyner, also was influential in doing that track. He a Bridgeport native as well. That's my
Pianist,
bro.
pianist for Joe.
Yes, sir. Pianist for Joe right now, and drums for this one. He's a phenomenon. You know what I mean? There was Lou Humphries and Jazz Joyner were influential in making the our rendition of Secret Garden. But when it but so once again, after I did A Man's World, I was still getting flack from labels. Label heads is like, yo, we ain't really rocking with R&B. I don't know. Still giving me the runaround. So I said, all right, man. I gotta do something that's gonna shock the world, make or break everything. So I had the idea. Big homie Lou and Jazz had the track the next day. We started thinking about who could be on the record. I had met Raheem Devon in LA when I was nominated for an NAACP Image Award, that brand new artist, most artist joint. And I chopped it with him. So I called him up, told him about the idea. He was in. Sent him the track. He sent back his verse. It sounded crazy. So then it was like, okay, who else we can get on it? At that time, my publicist was Sean Stockman publicist. So that's how that linked up. And then Lou knew Sisqó's manager. And it got put together through the pandemic. That record took almost 3 months to mix because everybody recorded their vocals where they were. It was during the pandemic. Sean was in Santa Monica, whatever. Raheem was where he was. So after the record came together and it was dope, then it was like, yo, man, even though the record says Omar Wilson on it, no one's gonna believe it's me.
Right.
And the only way to really push that is with a visual. So the visual was shot like at the most intense time in the pandemic. Like when we had to fly to LA to do it because Sean couldn't leave LA. So I remember when we flew there and we it was shot in Bel Air at a $40 million mansion. We get to the front of the joint and it's doctors and nurses in the front, and everybody had to swab up. And if you test, they had the rapid test, and if you tested positive, you couldn't even go in.
Yeah,
So,
the testing was very necessary back then.
boom, we got all the way to the gate. And let's say anybody, if I or anybody would have tested positive, that this video would have never came out. So
Okay,
thank God that happened, and we were able to shoot it.
let's play a piece of that video, and I also want to play a piece of the Good Day interview featuring everybody's take. Who was on the record? And then we got to go through a couple of questions. I never have enough time within the hour with my guests, man, because there's just so much history and so much content.
Man, yo, but it's okay because I got so much stuff jumping this year, big bro. And we need to talk behind the scenes
So
about, like you said,
you're going to be back, basically.
I'm telling you right now to tell your people, these record execs, these people with this with this residual income that they ain't got nothing else to do with, these investors, these are your last seconds to get on the Omar Wilson train. Y'all better stop playing because you're gonna wish you were part of getting this money because
We'll
it's going straight through the
talk about
planet this year.
talk about that too. So, and on that note, we're gonna play. I'm gonna give you guys a piece of the Secret Garden. I'll give you his Omar's verse.
I know a melody that we could sing together. I've got the secret key to you, baby. Let's make music harmonizing ecstasy.
That was Secret Garden, man. How old were you when that record came out?
The
Can't even,
original?
yeah, can't even remember, right? I know you was young, man.
The crazy thing is, I always, as a kid, remember James Ingram's part. A noble melody. He just has such a distinct, rustic.
So hold up. How did you guys pick which? I know you know what's your record, so obviously you knew which part you wanted. How did those other three guys pick up parts?
I mean, to be honest, we picked him.
Okay.
I mean, because of course everybody wanted James Ingram's part, but I was like, nah, that's
You're
all
not
about
getting that. You're not getting that.
that.
You're not getting. Who put this thing together? Me.
Everybody want to be Michael Jordan.
That's who I trust. Me.
DMB.
Me. Who's the check writer for this record? Me. That's oh,
Yo,
hold on.
dude. Yo,
Now let me play the
lion's share, baby, lion's share.
me. Ain't it personal, but it's me. That's who. All right. Okay, let's go into their take on this record as well.
Yes, sir.
And then we broke up. What's funny is that me and the guys were gonna do it too, and then Mike left. So I
Oh,
was like,
get out of here. Wow.
yeah.
To see all four of us come together and cohesively put something together to let people know you can have four lions in the jungle and they all got their own perch, but we can come together and eat a meal together.
If you want to learn a lesson from a lot of these hip hop cats, the reason why they make
Wow,
more money than
man.
us and the reason why they get more opportunities than us is because they understand that there's strength in numbers.
My conversation with Omar and Lou was basically like, yo, I'm down. It's just a matter of
Thank you,
who
baby. Good to see
else
you.
is on the record.
Appreciate you.
Importantly, you know, it's a really big record. So we, you know, those are huge shoes to fill.
Wow. This is gonna have one of the hardest parts because it is very and have and to put his own interpretation on it. So trust me, man. Of course, when I heard all y'all vocals, you know what I mean? A little tear bone popped in my eye, not because I was crying, because it was some dust in the room.
Yo, I got the chill from the demo. When I heard the demo, I was like, oh, okay. Then we got
Well, you know, Rob started it off, you know, with that love kid. Once I heard and I don't want to know, and it's a wrap. We got him. We got him. We got him.
Any secret of yours I want to know about once met.
Instantly was sold. So I am in the 90% that love.
Already, so
Wow.
yeah, that
I
was
don't even know. I need, can you send me that? I need that. I need to go on the gram.
we'll talk off the air about that.
Word up.
So that was everybody's
Yeah.
take on how this record came about, man.
Yeah.
Let's shift into we got about 5 more minutes. Then 2022, you recorded "Turn Off the Lights" by Teddy Pendergrass, and you You also recorded Lady, which is one of my favorite records by Kenny Rogers. Again, that takes a lot of nerves. Have you heard the version, the Lady, when he brought in Lionel Richie? And he tells the story about how Lionel Richie recorded his part and he went into the bathroom to write that record.
If you can see the goosebumps on my skin right now, it looks like chicken pie. Once again, yo, fam, this is what I'm saying, man. And I mean, this is why when Big Homie Lou got me, he like, how do you not have a deal?
Right.
And then when he found out that everyone knows who I am.
Right.
He's like, I don't understand it. So he said, let's make every single person that passed up on you have to come up with a reason why. Because I'm going to make it so evident the talent that God gave you. They're going to have to look like fools. So it was really Lou that was like, because I was kind of jaded for it, man. I did a Man's World, took it to labels. They're like, eh. So then he was like, yo, let's just do an album of songs that people can't sing. I'm like, yeah, but nobody want to hear that. No, he's like, yo, Teddy, he's like, do you understand? No one on the earth can sing Teddy Pendergrass. There might be 7 billion people on this planet. And you might only find 2 that has the gravitas to sing Teddy Pendergrass or David Ruffin. And God bless you to do it like it's not, like it's you. He said, so let's do that.
Mm.
So it was really him pressing me that God gave you a voice no one has. And as I've done the research, he's right. There's no one on the planet. There's a reason why people haven't done renditions of these records, because they can't without destroying their career. So it goes back to what you said. I was so fed up of being hid, of being put in the corner, of people scared to say my name because they know if they said it to the right person that they would take me to the mountaintop. So they're going to hide me. So I said, I'm going to do something that allows me never to be hidden again. And now every time someone that has known of me says, Omar Wilson, yeah, I know him. The exec or the investor says, you know this dude? Why ain't you never bring it to me? And there's no excuse other than, you know, a lot of people.
But there's something called finest fees. If you're in the room with the right person, bring the name.
I'm gonna tell you like this: between me and you, I know we're on the air. I have been in situations where, let's say hypothetically, Kingsley brings me to a situation. Kingsley gonna make 4 million off a situation. Omar Wilson might make 1.
One, right.
But once you realize Omar Wilson's going to make 1 mil, won't even take your 4. You'd rather not take the deal.
Just to make sure
I don't get no bread.
Wow.
That's where I've been.
Wow. But
back to where we at, that's why now I said, you know what? I'm going to show people the difference between good and legendary. And the only way to do that is to do legendary things.
That's another story because... If you go to Stephen Rifkin page, you will find out that he's been spazzing lately. The industry is they're actually laying people off right now.
They should be laying off a decade's worth of people just for not signing me.
Well, on that note, you know, you can't depend on the industry right now because you're not going to make money with them anyway.
No. I'm talking about back when we was making money.
Back when, okay. Yeah.
Back when a budget for 1 song was 300 grand.
I wanted to make sure that you focus on doing what Omar is doing, you know, make sure that you got some type of financial background to, you know, financial support to do what you need to do, because you go to label, all they're doing is lending you the money anyway.
We are Gucci on this end.
Lending you the money and draining the blood out of you. So you might
be just a bank. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know what they're doing on top of it.
So we're going to close out Memphis. You have fell in love with Memphis. Let's talk about the 2023 Stump the City Iconic Award in Memphis performance. We got about 2 minutes.
Man, they say go where the love is, right? You know what I mean? Connecticut, still a little up and down with Omar Wilson. Memphis, first of all, one of the places where soul music was born. So the vibe and the energy is there. The understanding of who I am is there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And right. And the jealousy, envy thing isn't there, man. It's all love. Like people want to see you get money. They don't mind seeing you flourish and shine. You know what I mean? So it's an honor to have a place like Memphis, which is where every major artist goes through to really get to that next level. I mean, you know, Justin Timberlake from Memphis. I was blessed to sing for him at the induction, his induction to the Memphis Hall of Fame at the Cannon Center. When I did my rendition of James Brown's Man's World, that was in Memphis. Royal Studios, that's Al Green. So yes, Memphis has been like my platform to let the whole rest of the world know it's time to embrace Omar Wilson and be thankful that you have someone like me representing for the juggernauts of R&B and soul music, keeping their name, their energy, and their songs alive, and letting a new generation of it be immersed and bathed in what soul music really is. Like you said, the goosebumps, the feeling, the vibe, not just the visual.
1 minute. What's next for Omar Wilson, and how can people reach out to book you?
Omar Wilson, you can go on my Instagram. Look in the bio, you'll see Lou Humphreys, Lou@bserecordings.com. He does all my bookings. That's my manager and the owner of the label. What's next for Omar Wilson? Superstardom. This is the redemptional year for me. This is the year I get put right where I belong, on the top of this R&B and soul music situation, and people finally across the world get to share my gift that God gave me with the, well, I get to share it with the world, man. So like you said, promoters all across this planet, Omar Wilson Sings the Classics tour, book me, you will not be disappointed. The ladies have been disappointed because I ain't been everywhere they're at and they want me there. So check my Instagram out, log on to that joint, you'll see in the bio, Lou@bserecordings.com, book Omar Wilson. All social media handles, Facebook is Omar Wilson, Twitter is Omar Wilson, Instagram Omar Wilson 1, and TikTok Omar Wilson King, all one word.
You are listening to WNHH 1 LP 103.5 FM WNHH LP. Thank you very much for chiming in, Omar Wilson. Thank you,
God bless, man. Ooh, Luke King.
You just gonna cherish the day, bro.
Cherish the day. Oh my God, blessings to you, man. I'll see you soon. My brother drinks on me.
You're ruling the way that I move. Now breathe your air. Rescue me. This is my friend.